Like to welcome you to the Sunday after Christmas, and I thought I would give you a little explanation. If you listen to all of my previous sermons during Advent, you know that I haven't mentioned the wise men. That's because the wise men, if you read Matthew chapter 2, came sometime after the Luke 2, when the shepherds went into Bethlehem to see the manger. And there's a certain segment of the Christian world that doesn't celebrate Christmas until the Sunday that we call Epiphany, which is Twelfth Night. Twelfth Night is 12 nights after Christmas, which is January 6th. So as a bow to tradition and a bow to we really don't know, I don't mention the wise men until Epiphany Sunday, which is next week. So next week, you'll hear a sermon about the wise men. So just a little explanation, and we are glad you're here. Let's stand for the call to worship. Give to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Lord is righteous in her midst. He will do no unrighteousness. Every morning he brings his justice to light. He never fails. But the unjust knows no shame. Therefore, wait for me, says the Lord, until the day I rise up for plunder. My determination is to gather the nations to my assembly of kingdoms, to pour on them my indignation, all my fierce anger. All the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy. Thank you. You may be seated. Reading from Psalm 37. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret, it only causes harm, for evildoers shall be cut off. Let us pray. Our Father and God, as we meditate upon your word and the exhortation not to fret, not to worry, and to rest in you, we ask that you would teach us how to do this, that we would know that you do all things well. And you tell us in your word that all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose, and that purpose is to conform us into the image of your Son. We thank you and praise you that you are busy at work in us, and that your Holy Spirit is the one who convicts us of sin, righteousness, and judgment, and leads us into truth. We ask, Lord, that you would teach us to rest and to cast all our care upon you, because you do care for us. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. And from Psalm 37, those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Let us pray. Our Father and God, we come before you as your people. We come through the shed blood of your Son, and we come in the power of the Holy Spirit. And we come with praise and thanks upon our lips as we tell you the concerns of our heart. We thank you that you know our needs before we ask. We thank you that you know our concerns. We thank you, Father, that you bid us come into your presence as your children to tell you what is on our mind. We thank you for this time of year when we, as your people, can use the cultural activity as a means to declare the gospel of Christ, to remind people that God did send his Son to be the propitiation of our sins, and that he is Emmanuel, God with us, and that we who are your people are now the temple of the Holy Spirit, and that we are those who are to declare the gospel of Jesus Christ and to remind people that he is coming again. We thank you for this hope that we have, and we ask that we might fix our eyes upon him who is the author and finisher of our faith, and that we would pursue righteousness, and that we would seek first the kingdom of God. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Well, children, we no longer have a candle to light, so we now have children's message. So if you'd like to come forward. So how are you? Did you have a nice Christmas? Good. Now, do you know what the word wait means? What does it mean to wait?
Wait for a day.
Wait for what?
A day.
A wait for a day. So back in August, okay, remember 4 months ago, you were waiting for Christmas, right? And Christmas was 4 months away. So now that it's December the 27th, I guess you're waiting for Christmas next year, right? So waiting, this is what we do. We wait. Have you ever gone somewhere and your mother or father says, wait here, I'll be back? Have you ever done that? Okay. And while they're gone, okay, what goes on in your mind? Do you wonder where they are? Do you wonder what they're doing? Do you wonder, what happens if they don't come back? But you don't think that, do you? That your mom and your dad, they're going to come back. Well, you and I believe, okay, that Jesus Christ came as a baby, and he grew up to be a man, and he died on the cross, okay? How do we know that? Did you ever wonder how we know that? You never wonder? Did you ever see Jesus? Nope, never saw Jesus, nope. Do you know anybody who saw Jesus? Nope. The only way that we know this is because God wrote us a letter. Have you ever received a letter? Yep. It's nice to open up a letter and read whatever somebody had to tell you. Well, God wrote us a letter. It's called the Bible. And in the Bible, he tells us about his son, Jesus. And then he tells us something else. Not only did Jesus come, live, die, and rise again, but he went back to heaven, and he's coming again. And you and I are waiting. We are waiting for Jesus to return. So while we wait, okay, we have to remember all of his promises. And one of the promises is that he promised to come back. So we are waiting. And waiting means that we have to be patient. Patience is hard, isn't it? You know what patience is? Waiting. Yeah. Yeah. So while we are here, we wait for Jesus to come again and to fulfill all of his promises. Thank you. You may return to your seat. Let's stand to sing Angels from the Realms of Glory. Thank you. Thank you. You may be seated. Our scripture reading is taken from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, beginning with verse 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eye have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. We all remember quite well Luke 2, 1 through 20, the story of the shepherds. Luke goes on in chapter 2 and talks about how Mary and Joseph fulfilled the law with respect to the circumcision of Christ on the eighth day after his birth. They took him and he was circumcised. And then later, about 30 days later, they returned to the temple because the time of Mary's purification was over, and they had to present the firstborn son and give him to God, as was the law. The firstborn male child that opened the womb was to be offered to God. And the offering was to be accompanied with a sacrifice. And we know that Mary and Joseph were poor because they offered up the sacrifice of birds instead of a lamb or goat. It was birds. That communicates to us that they were poor. And while they were doing this, Luke tells us about Simeon. Now, just think for a minute about the four old people in the record of Luke. There's Zacharias and Elizabeth, there's Simeon, and there's Anna. Anna is mentioned after Simeon. Now, these four people are elderly. Now, I'm going to suggest to you a reason that Luke records this by the Holy Spirit, and the reason is that the old was passing away. Elizabeth, Zacharias, Anna, and Simeon were all looking forward to something. They understood what the Old Testament had promised. They understood something of the foreshadowing that was the Old Testament. And here, this child is the one who fulfills the Old Testament, and God gives them the privilege of seeing the new, the fulfillment. As it were, it's the dawn. It's the beginning of the kingdom of God here upon earth. And here with Simeon, we get a sense of that because Simeon is described as he's just a man in Jerusalem. All kinds of people conjecture that he was a leader in the Jews or that he was somehow involved in religious leadership. The Lord doesn't tell us that. All the Lord says is that he is a resident in Jerusalem. That's all. Anything else you say about Simeon is conjecture. But the Lord does tell us some more things. He tells us that this man, Simeon, was just and devout, which implies that understanding the Old Testament and the Old Testament requirements, he understood that there was something coming. He had this expectation, and he also understood his obligations under the Old Testament dispensation. And he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. What is the consolation of Israel? Well, the consolation of Israel is that which fulfills all of the expectations that the nation had. They began as a nation with Abraham, the Abrahamic covenant, and then after they came out of Egypt, they had the law given to them. And I will remind you that the covenant that God made with Abraham is unilateral. In other words, God made a covenant with Israel, with Abraham. Abraham didn't do anything. As a matter of fact, in Genesis 15, when God cut the covenant, Abraham was asleep. And God cut the covenant while Abraham slept. But the Sinaitic covenant was reciprocal. By that, God required something and promised things on the basis of that requirement, and Israel agreed, and that was demonstrated by the blood being poured on the altar and the blood being sprinkled on the people. And the people then saying, all that God has said we will do. And as you read the Old Testament, you'll find that Israel didn't keep their side of the agreement. Then we have the Davidic covenant, and that too is unilateral. Okay, God promises something to David, and David just says, thank you, Lord, amen. There's no response for David. God just makes a promise. So what is this consolation of Israel? Well, this consolation of Israel includes the keeping of the covenant at Sinai. We call the covenant Sinai the covenant of works. God has a law and he expects people to keep it. The law is just and it's holy. And in order to stand before God as a righteous person, you and I must be those who are reckoned righteous because the law has been fulfilled. If you read the law, you'll know that, you know, it's impossible to keep. It's impossible. But this child is the consolation of Israel. This child that came is the one who is to fulfill the law. As Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, I did not come to destroy the law, I came to fulfill the law. So as I mentioned, Zacharias, Elizabeth, Simeon, and Anna were elderly. And they are devout people looking forward to the fulfillment of all the promises of the Old Testament. The writer of the Hebrews refers to this when he says that when the new came, the old disappears. It's gone. And this is what Simeon was looking for. He was looking for the one who would fulfill that which he could not do. The consolation of Israel. And the fourth thing that we know about him is that the Holy Spirit was upon him. The Holy Spirit is that which God gives to us as a means of leading us and guiding us, instructing us. And as you read the Gospels, you'll see that Jesus Christ himself was led by the Spirit. And when he goes out to the desert to be tempted of the devil, He is taken by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit drives him to the desert. And when he is in Nazareth and he reads that portion from Isaiah about the servant of the Lord speaking and doing things by the Holy Spirit, Jesus reads that and he says, "Today that's fulfilled in your presence." Simeon was filled, had the Holy Spirit. He is not the only Old Testament character to have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was once upon Saul. God removed him. The Holy Spirit was upon David. The Holy Spirit was upon Samson. And he's various other people. He comes upon people in the Old Testament. But he does not indwell them the way he indwells us. So Simeon is led by the Holy Spirit. Here is this elderly man waiting for something. And he lives in Jerusalem, and he enters into the temple because the Spirit led him there. But God had revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Anointed One. What a promise. Wow, can you imagine being told? Just imagine, since we are in the situation where we are, just imagine if God had informed you that you would not die before Christ came again. That would mean that you wouldn't die. That would be something that, you know, to be absent from the body, present with the Lord, you wouldn't have to go through that trauma of death. Because if God said that you would not die until Christ came again, then you would be caught up to heaven and meet Christ in the air. The Lord hasn't done that for us, but he did for Simeon. He did tell Simeon that he would not see death until he had seen the one that would fulfill the Davidic covenant, the Abrahamic covenant, and the Sinaitic covenant. Simeon was given this high privilege. So he comes into the temple. And Mary and Joseph brings Jesus Christ according to the law. It's very important. Every time you see that in the New Testament that such and such a thing happened to fulfill the scriptures, or such and such a thing happened according to the law, it's very important to pay attention to that, because that's why Jesus lived his life. He lived in obedience to the law. We've referenced the fact that he learned obedience, even unto death, the death of the cross. In learning obedience, then he kept that which we cannot do. He kept the law. And he fulfills the law in all its parts. And his parents were participants in this project, because Jesus couldn't take himself to be circumcised, and Jesus couldn't take himself to be offered as the firstborn who opened the womb. Mom and dad had to do that for him. So mom and dad bring Jesus into the temple according to the custom of the law. And Simeon enters into the temple. Can you imagine the privilege that Simeon has? He then takes this child who is the fulfillment of all the Old Testament, and he takes this child in his arms. As a matter of interest, there is a certain segment of Judaism today. Every newborn child is looked upon as the possible Messiah. They're still looking for the Messiah. And every newborn child that's born, they hope is the Messiah. Well, Simeon was one who was anticipating the Messiah, like people are today in Judaism, except that Simeon had information from the Holy Spirit and he identified Jesus Christ as the Messiah. He actually held this child in his arms. And when he held the baby in his arms, he didn't do what many of us do. We hold a baby and we go, oh, how cute, who do they look like? And we go through this process. And Simeon didn't do that. What he did was, he held this child and he blesses God, because he recognizes who this child is. And in recognizing who this child is, he tells us what he understands. He is a devout and a just man, and he's waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit is on him. And so when he speaks, he reveals what he understands. First thing, he knows that now he will die. That was the promise that God gave him. Once you see, you will not die until you see the Lord's Christ. Well, he's holding the Lord's Christ. So now he acknowledges that I can depart in peace. I can do what every man does, die. But he's departing in peace. He is a just and devout man, and he understands that this life is not the end. And he understands that because he's just and devout in God's promises, that there's peace when he dies. And the peace of God is his. And this is all according to God's word. Simeon understood that God's word was settled in heaven, that God's word was what God would do. And Simeon understood that God was a faithful God. He says, according to your word, because I have seen your salvation. This child is not only the consolation of Israel, but this child is salvation for all men. Not every Jew understood that. If you remember in John chapter 4, the Samaritan woman, she acknowledges that there's a difference between Jews and Samaritans. She acknowledges that there is a different understanding, and that the Jews were very adamant about the fact that salvation comes from us. You have to become a Jew. That was a problem in the early church. If you read the book of Acts, you'll see that it's a great big discussion in Acts 15. They have a church council to discuss whether Gentiles have to become Jews. Simeon understood that that wasn't the case. This child was salvation for all people, and that God had prepared this salvation for all peoples. Well, he understood the Abrahamic covenant. When God said to Abraham, in your seed, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. Simeon understood that. He understood that God had a universal program, not just a Jewish program. And this is all prepared for all men. All men. So what is this salvation? Well, I'd like to bring revelation to the Gentiles. The Gentiles were in darkness. If you read in Romans chapter 9, the Jews were privileged because they had the promises. The Jews were given God's revelation, his law. They were given the temple. They were given the priesthood. They were given the promise of a king through the line of David. The Jews were highly privileged. And you can understand why, if you're a Hebrew and you're not seeing clearly, that you think that God is interested in the Hebrews, and he's not so much interested in anybody else. And again, if you read the Old Testament, if you wanted to learn the truth, you had to go to Jerusalem. The Queen of Sheba, she went to Solomon. Ruth went to Israel and learned the truth. Naaman went to Israel and was introduced to Elisha. So these Gentiles, in order to hear the truth, had to go to Israel. And the truth was deposited with the nation of Israel. But the truth did not belong to Israel. It was given for all the nations. And this child that Simeon was now holding is a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles. Which means that the Gentiles, because of this child, would not have to go to Jerusalem anymore. This child would mean that the Gentiles would receive the light wherever they lived. This child, because of his work and his sacrifice on the cross, would open the whole revelation of God to everyone who ever lived. And you wouldn't have to go to the temple, to the city of Jerusalem, and listen to the Hebrews. The Old Testament speaks of this, but not everybody saw that. Simeon did. Simeon understood that. And so he speaks of the light that God has given that will be a light for the Gentiles. That means the Gentiles were living in darkness. They had no understanding of the truth. And then he speaks of the glory of your people Israel. Jesus was a Jew. He grew up in a Jewish home. He grew up under the law. He grew up under all of that cultural business that lived under the authority of Rome in the first century. And if you read the New Testament, you'll see that he specifically confronts the Jewish idea of their responsibilities before God. There's a one portion where he says, "Woe to the Pharisees," 5 or 6 times in a row. "Woe to you, woe to you," because they misunderstood. And Simeon understands this. Now, Simeon is an elderly man living on the pre-ministry of Christ, before Christ was 30 years old, before Christ died, before he rose again. And he had an understanding of the truth. He also understood something of the limitations of the understanding that he had. The question that you and I have to ask ourselves is, based upon what we know more than Simeon did. We are those who have the full revelation of Christ. Hebrews chapter 1 tells us that in times past, God spoke through the prophets in various ways and divers manners, but he spoke through his Son. The coming of Jesus is the last speaking that God has. It is a full revelation of God's promises and his character. So Simeon understood something about God's righteousness, God's faithfulness. He understood something about God's requirements. And now the full revelation is exposed in Emmanuel, God with us. And as you and I read and meditate upon Simeon and Anna, Anna comes after this, and Anna is a woman who spent her days in the temple. She was a widow. She was married 7 years and spent her whole life in the temple. And she recognizes who Christ is. And you and I now have the full revelation. We can look at what Simeon says and what Simeon does, and we can see that there was this high privilege that he had. But you and I have a higher privilege. You see, he just held the baby. He only understood that this was the consolation of Israel. He only understood that here was the salvation that God had prepared for all the peoples. But you and I can understand the nature of that revelation. And how you and I, because of the work of Jesus Christ, are now brothers and sisters of Christ. He is our elder brother. He not only is our elder brother, but we are being molded and shaped into look like him. And we share his inheritance. The inheritance that you and I have in Jesus Christ is the same inheritance that he has. There are two aspects that I think are astounding. Number one, when we see him, we will see him as he is because we will be like him. At the very least, that means you and I will not be able to sin. That's astounding. We will not be able to sin. And the second thing that is astounding is that we have eternal life. You and I are participants in eternal life now. This life, we are now living as a child of God, we are living within the framework of eternity. As Jesus said to Martha, "He that believeth in me shall never die." Did Simeon understand all that? I don't think so. I don't know for sure, but I don't think so. Because the Old Testament concept of resurrection was different than our understanding of resurrection today. Because we have the full work of Christ. But Simeon understood that the darkness that the Gentiles were in would now be illumined by this child and his work and his person. So do you understand that your friends and neighbors who are outside of Christ are in darkness? Apart from Jesus Christ, there is no light. If you look at John chapter 1, you'll see that he is the light that lightens every man. There is no truth, no truth, apart from Jesus Christ. None. I have friends who are scientists, and I always like to prick their brains. Because if you study science, the history of science, you'll see that science changes. Anything that changes is not the truth. The truth is absolute, never changes. That's the truth. And Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Word of God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God says, "I change not." The truth never changes. So you and I have the truth. Simeon understood the truth in a shadow. And when he holds this baby, he understands that this baby is the fulfillment of all of these promises. And that this baby will be the means where the Gentiles come to an understanding of God's truth. You and I have the truth. You and I have that which changes not. But we wait, don't we? We wait. We wait in a change-filled world. I like to tell people when they go, "Oh, what a beautiful sunset." I go, "Yeah, it's beautiful, but it's cursed." Wow! Isn't this marvelous? Yep, it's marvelous, but it's cursed. My grandmother once was with another person, and the other person said, "Only God can make a sunset." And my grandmother said, "Only God can make a cockroach." She had an understanding, not everybody does. I had another woman that I dealt with, not a relative, but she wanted to know, what did mosquitoes do in the Garden of Eden? She had an understanding too about what is not what is to be, and what is not what was. We live in a fallen world. And Simeon, he was a devout man waiting for the consulate of Israel under the authority of Rome. And he understood that what he was looking for was fulfilled in this baby. You and I are looking for something also. And you and I are looking for the fulfillment that Jesus Christ will usher in a new heaven and a new earth. No more fear, no more grieving, no more tears, no more pain. And there will be no more curse. We're waiting for that. Our expectation is the same expectation as Simeon, Zechariah, Elizabeth, and Anna had, but our object of expectation is different. Our expectation is still rooted in the Word of God. Our expectation is still rooted in God's faithfulness. But we expect the return of Christ as a king, whereas they expected the babe to come in fulfillment of what they understood from the Old Testament. And there he was in the temple, the consolation of Israel, being held in Simeon's arms. You and I are waiting. Are you waiting with the same kind of expectation that Simeon had? Are you recognize the Word of God? Do you understand what God has for you? You may just be a resident of Sumas. You may just be just somebody. Simeon was just a man in Jerusalem, but he had all of these expectations and he had all this understanding. It's not who you are in this life. It is what you understand about God's truth. It's what you understand about God's promises. It's what you understand about your status in the kingdom of God. Let's pray. Our Father and God, we thank you and praise you for that revelation that you've given to us of those who faithfully live their lives under many different kinds of circumstances, understanding your faithfulness, understanding your word, understanding that they were your people. We thank you and praise you for the record of those who served you with gladness and enter into your courts with praise. We ask that it would be our case, that we too would serve you with gladness and enter into your courts. We ask that you would give us the confidence of your promises, the confidence that you are the great I Am. That you change not, that you are the same, yesterday, today, and forever. We thank you that you have given us your word. We ask that you would teach us to meditate upon it day and night, that we would grow in the grace and knowledge of your Son. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand to sing Like a River Glorious. Thank you. our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself.